life. Baruch Haba, Hakol Havarim, Rishon Messianic Bible Club. Why I'll keep wanting to say college, huh? We have a lot of people going through the college right now, though, Pastor Ben. You know that?
I know that.
I got to talk to Jackwater to see if they've requested the test, because I see they're going through it. Sometimes they send me some homework, doing very well on their letters and stuff like that, but they are going through it. Yep. So it is not too late to get an associate degree in Hebrew biblical theology. We want you to learn all that stuff so you can understand when Pastor Sandy's talking Hebrew and talking about letters and stuff, and you're like, what is he talking about? Who cares about a Hebrew letter? Well, the whole Bible is based on 22 Hebrew letters. That's why you have 66 books. 22, 22, 22, Trinity. Every letter is talking about God, about Jesus, about the stories, everything. So very important to learn the Hebrew, not to speak it. I know you call medaber ivri, the arbe anashim can speak Hebrew, but many people can speak Hebrew, but understanding the letters and the concept that God has behind it. The whole DNA of creation is in the Hebrew letters. And if you haven't went through that study, I'll send it to you. But it is very important. We're going to get started praying here. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I also want to thank everybody for their comments and things that they left on the message last night and the previous weeks, too. But one thing I do want to caution you on, and that's being mean to each other.
We didn't come here last week.
Yeah, right? What is wrong with us? Why are we being mean to people because they give comments that you don't like? Don't do that. Don't let our Bible club and our church become a place where
bullying,
where people can't come on and ask a stupid question. Because you know it's not a good question, don't mean you have to call them that. You know what I mean? You could just say, well, let me try to help you out with that. There's a great study that you could go through that would help you with that. But I don't want you guys being mean to each other. It's just not of the Holy Spirit. It is of the flesh. Uh-huh. And we're in the flesh. And I understand, you know, because someone sent me something this morning and I was like, oh, my God. I had to hit the pump the brakes and go send something positive. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he sent me a thing, said 777 and 153. 777 is nothing but a Vegas number, and 153 has nothing to do with the Bible.
A Vegas number.
Yeah. And 153 has nothing to do with the Bible.
Wow.
Now, I want you guys to learn from me. At first, I wanted to say, you, but I didn't. I pumped my brakes. I said, Lord, how should we? So I replied, and I sent him a few things that he can look at in the Hebrew that gives you the definition of 777 as related to God and 153 as related to the church and the rapture. Okay, so I sent that to him so that he can look at it. But don't ever come and say, hey, you know, just start saying stuff and that you really haven't studied, you know, because you might get people that will come at you very hard. And I try not to. I'm not blaming you guys. I mean, sometimes people say stuff and you just want to go, ah! But then we have to let the Holy Spirit kind of take over.
Amen.
So try to be kind to each other. I'm asking you.
Amen.
Let's get started. I want to say the Lord's Prayer. And then let's get started on today's message. And today's message title is The War Against the Rapture. And as I was praying this morning, I wanted to ask God what to talk about this morning. I promised him that every Thursday morning that I would not sit around waiting till it's time to get here, but I would spend some time in prayer and the Word. And the Lord gave me the in my heart, there's a war against the rapture. There's been a war. It's constantly. And every time they run out of things, they come up with something new, right? And who are they? Demons. And what? And who do the demons give the ideas to? People.
Yeah.
You know, so let's pray and get into this.
Amen.
All right. Avanu Shabbat Shabbatim Yit Kadeshim Ha. Tavo mehuteka yi aserot sanaka. Be arets ke asher ne asa be shamaim. Telanu hayom lechem hukenu. Usilaglanu et asmetenu. Ke asher solechem anachnu le asher asmilanu. Vial tevienu le de masa. Keim hatzilanu min hara. Kilaha hamamlecha ve hagivara. The Hatif Eret Leolame Leolamim Amen. Beishem Yeshua Hamashiach Anachnu Tefillim, and let's get started.
Amen.
All right. We are the message that I was giving last night was very much a message for people who have some Hebrew understanding, because I realized last night when God gave me this message about the letter Samech that this letter is God's letter. He put so much time. I don't know how much time God put into this. You know, they say the letter Hey is the spirit or the spirit of God. And he says, because when God created the world, he did it in a breath. And I don't know how much effort God did into making the world, how difficult it was. But yeah. I'll tell you what, it was a masterful job.
Yeah.
But when he created the letters, and God created the letters, okay, if you don't know that, I think, Pastor Ben, you have that on our website. When you go to Hebrew Messianic Hebrew class, you have the teaching from the rabbi that Hebrew is the DNA of creation.
Yeah.
Okay, a matter of fact, I'm watching a guy's who created a way to have electricity by using this certain type of metal and structuring it in the form of the Star of David.
Ooh.
And he said the Star of David is the unique creation that causes this whole thing to act. And I thought, wow. You know, when God created this world, there's so much scientific stuff that he did so simple. And of course, people had to make money off of it, so they discovered other ways to get it to you. But God is simple and complex at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, today's message is concerning the fact that people, demons, I won't even say people because he only uses people.
Right.
Demonic spirits have always warred against the rapture.
Amen.
It is, and so much more, the closer we get, there's a new strategy on behalf of the demons to make sure that the rapture becomes a controversial issue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When in the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, the rapture is a plain concept. It has a demonstrated amount of time that the tribulation is going to happen. It has the concept of how God is going to take the people out of the world and collect those who have died in Christ and give them resurrected bodies. It is spoken of as early as what we talked about with the first Samech in Genesis chapter 2, as God creates a bride for Adam, right?
Right.
That is the first concept of a rapture that I can think of right now, okay?
Amen.
Because we know that the first Adam had a bride, and we know that the second Adam is Christ, and Christ's bride is the church.
Yes.
So the first concept of the rapture comes in Genesis chapter 2. Then you get all these other concepts of rapture in the story of Joseph, in the story of Moses, okay? You get all these rapture concepts throughout the scripture as you get to Esther and you get to the book of Ruth and you get to Isaiah. You're constantly seeing rapture scenarios yes. taking place because God is letting you know that. Go all the way back to Genesis and you'll see that the existence of mankind has to do with a wedding that God has planned.
Yes.
Okay? And so the concept of that is in scripture. Let's read about this wedding. We read it last night, but I wanted to read it again. Love my Bible. I love that. It says, for a guy who's the real deal. I put Yeshua under there. Yeshua. That's for my friend. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 22, because we read through this last night, but we probably didn't get the full concept. Now, there are, when a war is going on, you have to have a strategy, okay? If you don't have a strategy, you're basically letting the other people win, okay? God's strategy against Satan is knowledge, is power, okay? But one of God's biggest strategies against Satan is knowledge. When Satan tried to tempt Christ, Christ defeated him with what? Knowledge. Because what Satan did was, here's some false knowledge. And Christ said, well, here's some true knowledge. And he said, well, I got another false knowledge for you. And Jesus came back. Well, here's some true stuff, right? And so if we don't know how to war with the word of God, we'll believe all type of concepts that don't come from God, okay? Amen. We might even be running around here saying we're the true black Hebrew Israelites, as if God didn't make all nationalities and determine where they would live,
yes.
right? The scripture says. So if you don't know the word, you just believe whatever people tell you. That's how Pastor Sandy once was Rahman Abdul Rahim, because somebody gave him a false truth and he didn't know the truth. So therefore, he fell into the false truth. OK,
Amen.
So I want you guys to understand that there has been a war against the rapture. What was the first war? Hey, we can just tell them that the word rapture is not in the Bible, so the rapture don't even exist.
Right.
So they did that concept. That was Satan's strategy for a while. The word don't exist. Then people start studying a little Greek and Hebrew, and they said, wait a minute, harbazo is the same word as rapture. So the word is in the Bible. So then now they have to go back and say, okay, that strategy didn't work. We got to come. Okay, this is the new strategy. So all the demons got together. The new strategy is that there is going to be a rapture, but it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation, and the church is going to have to run for their lives until Jesus comes. And then they came with that strategy, right? And so now people were like, well, you know, I believe in the rapture, but I believe it happens at the end of the tribulation. Well, now there's so much knowledge that people who even bring up a end of the tribulation rapture, most people just look at them like, well, that's just stupid. You know what I mean? We're going to run around for our lives as the bride of Christ right. until he comes. You know, no way, okay? And then you can show them concepts in the scripture that says he's taking the church out before the tribulation even begins. And Revelation does that, right? In Revelation chapter 4, the church is gone before the whole tribulation period begins. So that strategy has been kind of, nobody really goes online trying to argue post-trip rapture anymore. Is there, everybody has concept. No. Now, the new thing is, okay, there is going to be a rapture, okay, but you don't have to be ready for it. This is the new strategy. Because now, see, you don't have to be ready for it, because if you've already accepted Christ, listen to this now, because this is a demon talking. If you've already accepted Christ, if you try to live right, in your own strength, then you're doing works salvation.
So therefore, the only thing you can do to be saved is to accept Christ. Now, once you accept him, you're saved no matter what. So therefore, you can't work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, take that out of the Bible. So the whole thing is, now you don't need works to gain salvation. Salvation is by believing in the name of Jesus, and that's it. Okay? Now, once you say that, you nullify every scripture that tells you that once you accept Christ, you have to walk in it and you have to die to your flesh and allow your spirit to control your flesh and walk and to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to leave out all of those concepts.
Yeah.
So the new attack against the church and the rapture, because now they know the rapture is coming. The thing now is, I already believe that Jesus exists. So it doesn't matter that I'm a comfortable alcoholic. And I don't even call it alcoholism. I call it casual drinking. Yeah. So now you're this lukewarm Christian, or I go to secular things all of the time, and it doesn't bother me. You know, I know who my Lord is. Yep. Oh, yeah, that was the other guy. Okay, so the thing is, you listening to the Holy Spirit and coming into obedience with the Holy Spirit makes you now trying to work out your own salvation. If I obey, so if the Holy Spirit tells me, look, you need to stop drinking, it's going to destroy your life, and it makes you act a fool. And you say, well, this is just the way I am. I'm going to drink till I go to heaven.
Really?
Holy Spirit's like, well, that'll never happen, right? But in your mind, you know, you've already believed in Jesus, so therefore you're fine, right? Uh-huh. So now, there is a huge difference between works and obedience.
Right.
Okay? Works is I'm trying to work my way to heaven by I go out and witness three times a week. I feed the homeless. I pass out pamphlets to people. I'm knocking on the door. I mean, I get there before the Jehovah Witnesses sometimes. And, you know, you're just doing all these works, right? Because you want to make it to heaven. And I go to church every Sunday. You can check my time clock, right? I punch in every time. So I'm in church. I'm witnessing, I'm feeding the poor, I even go to the elderly place and I sing them songs on Saturday, and I'm working it out. When Jesus comes, he's going to say, you have many works stored up, come on into heaven. And then, none of those works are going to save you, right? So what's going to save you on that day? That you accepted Jesus Christ and that you died to your flesh, that you actually were in a relationship with God in repentance and making a sincere effort in your relationship with God. Okay? So that concept is now the biggest attack against the body of Christ. So much so that if you tell people right now that you have to live for God, they'll go, that's work salvation.
Right.
You're not even saved because you're trying to save yourself by trying to stop fornicating. Hmm. No, the Holy Spirit told me to stop, and I'm trying to be obedient to God. Well, if you try to stop, then that means you're trying to work out your own salvation. Only thing you can do is just believe in Jesus. Huh. It's a concept that Satan is now introduced into the church, to the point where the church, you got good Christians who want to sin and know they still have problems. And instead of repenting, they've decided that if I believe in this, I don't have to repent, because once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Right. So this is the attack.
Pastor Sandy, got something for you.
Yes.
All right. Can you welcome Cynthia B. from McAllen, Texas? She just joined R&B.
Cynthia B. from...
V as in Victor.
V.
Cynthia B.
from McAllen, Texas?
She just joined R&B.
Oh, praise God. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club and Soldiers for Christ Community Church. Praise God, man. I'm loving Texas.
She just joined.
Hallelujah. Thank you for joining. I appreciate that. I want a billion people to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because I think
that if there's two guys that God called to do ministry that can't be manipulated, because God has already supplied for me and Pastor Ben's family.
Yes.
We're not raising money so that we can. My car is paid off. Pastor Ben's car is already paid off.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So we're okay.
Right.
But to keep the lights on and to keep the building open becomes an extra expense. But God sent all you great people to help us, right? And it's awesome. But I think I want a billion people, because I want a billion people to know that the rapture is coming. No matter how Satan tries to war against it, the rapture is coming, okay?
Amen.
And the church is leaving. And the reason why I show you so many things is because I want to show you also that Satan knows that it's coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
That's crazy. That you can watch someone preparing for your demise and ignore them and the fact that you're going to leave. Okay, so here we are. We're here and we're in Matthew chapter 22. And I didn't get to explain this. If you already know this, just follow with me. But I want you to understand and know this, because Jesus spoke to them in a parable. Okay, I think Proverbs or Psalms said that he would speak in parables, so he's fulfilling prophecy. Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." You see that? We're going all the way back to Genesis, to Abraham preparing a wedding for Isaac, right?
Amen.
So there you have another rapture scenario, okay?
Amen.
And so the kingdom, he says, in heaven is like a king preparing a wedding banquet for his son, okay? That's what the kingdom of God is about. That's what this whole thing's about, this wedding.
Yes.
Wow. And he says, "He sent his servants to those who he invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready.
Yeah.
Come to the wedding.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to the field, one to his business. The rest seized the king's servants, okay, mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city." Now, do we understand and know who he's talking about?
Yes.
Because the invitation, salvation is of the Jews, right?
Right.
This message is first going to the Jewish nations, okay? The gospel is to preach to the Jewish nation, and then when they rejected it, who did it go? He said, okay, then now I'll go to the Gentiles. So this whole invitation to the wedding banquet went out to Israel. And they did not accept it. A matter of fact, anyone who was trying to preach to them righteousness or the coming of the Messiah, is the Pharisees and many of the rulers in those days, they would beat them up, throw poor Jeremiah into a hole.
Amen.
You know, all of these things, to all of these prophets that God kept sending to them, telling them to stop sinning. God is sending the Messiah, and he's trying to get the Messiah. Finally comes and they still don't accept him. And matter of fact, they kill him, and they say within their minds, this guy is the king's son. If we kill him, we'll have all of the things for ourselves, right?
Amen.
So understand the mind. So this is why God says here that he sent his armies to destroy those murderers and burn their city. So in 70 AD, God sent armies there, this Roman army, and it came through and it burnt their city, okay? And the nation of Israel was scattered.
Now, Jesus Christ in 70 AD, he's already died on the cross.
Yeah.
So that means the banquet is still ready. Who are we going to get to come now? Go out into the hedges, to the byways, right? And here it is. Then he said to his servant, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, right?
Yes.
And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now, in the Tarbut, Israel, in the culture of Israel, when a king is going to give a banquet, the king issues all the garments to all people who have been invited and who have accepted the invitation to whatever fair that he's going to have in the palace, okay?
Amen.
The king issues the garment. When you show up to the palace, you are supposed to have on the garment that the king has provided you because you've accepted the invitation, okay?
Yes.
We have a problem here in the banquet hall, and this is it. It says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. He didn't have no excuses.
None.
The king told the attendants to tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many have been invited, but few are chosen.
Yeah.
Listen, he accepted the invitation. This is what the scripture is saying. A person that accepts Christ has accepted an invitation to the banquet.
Yes.
The problem is the banquet has not taken place and you've been issued a garment. So now you've got to take care of that garment until the banquet, because you know once the banquet comes, you have to have that garment on, right?
Yes. Yes.
Which is the Holy Spirit. If a person persists in sin, saying to themselves, well, if I try to live sinless, that means I'm trying to work my way to heaven. That is a lie from Satan.
Amen.
You want to work out all of the sin out of your life. You want to get as close to the concept of who Jesus is as much as you can, because you want to be like him, right?
Yes.
You don't want to be a cigarette smoking, weed smoking, alcohol drinking, fornicating Christian.
Wow.
Okay? You don't want to be that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit will stick with you.
Yes.
Okay? Ezekiel chapter 9, the Holy Spirit was in that temple for a long time.
Yes.
And when God finally went and got Ezekiel and he said, come, I want to show you what's going on inside the temple.
Yes.
And he brought him to the temple and he said, look through the hole. And he saw them baking cakes to idol gods, Tumas. And he saw them fornicating inside of the temple. And he said, come on, I'm going to show you even worse things that they're doing. So the temple had been in there. I mean, the Spirit of God had dwelt in the Shekinah inside of that building. But now God is saying to his Spirit, his Spirit rose up out of the temple and went into the outer court as far away from that temple as possible. Okay? Amen. So a person may start in a small sin, and then the Holy Spirit will ask them to repent and come back with Christ. A person may backslide, and the Holy Spirit will ask them to repent and come back to Christ. The soon as this person says, I have not sinned, this is my lifestyle, this is what I do, the scripture in 1 John 1:9 says, you have now called God a liar. Because when you say you have not sinned, It says now you're calling God a liar. Yeah. Because God wants you to confess those sins so that he can reestablish you back into the family of God.
Yeah.
Okay? So.
Pastor Sam, can yes. I interrupt you again? Mm-hmm. Can you welcome Alina?
Alina?
Alina B. From Fort Worth, Texas. She just joined RMBC.
Hallelujah. Thank you for joining, Alina. And all you people who are joining, I want to make sure that you, when you email me, ask for the Hebrew material for the Hebrew classes in school, because I want you to get a concept of the Hebrew so that you can do what God told me to do. You know how I became a pastor? I have no PhD, no BA, no any of all this stuff, right?
Right.
This is what God told me. Learn Hebrew and I'll teach you the Bible. And then he said, when you're done, you will teach your teachers. Okay? So now I have all of this knowledge and people want to know, you know, where'd you go? I didn't go anywhere. I learned Hebrew. I did go to an Orthodox Jewish synagogue where people forced me to speak Hebrew and to read in Hebrew. Okay. Well, they didn't force you, but let me tell you something. When you walked in there, nobody was trying to be English courtesy. There was no English courtesy. It was in Hebrew and that's it. Jump in the water and swim.
Right.
Okay. Here, let me take a sip of water. Okay.
That's funny.
So, there is a war against the rapture. Okay? The current war against the rapture is, okay, now they believe in the rapture. This is what the demons are gathering around saying. Okay, we've already tried that the rapture doesn't exist in the Bible. We've tried that. It didn't work. So now it's saying, okay, this is a new strategy. The rapture doesn't happen until the end of the tribulation. Okay, they figured that out. They know that this is not true.
Right.
So now we just got to make sure that they're not prepared when it happens. So here's our new strategy. We'll tell them that once they get saved, they don't have to actually live for God. They can live any kind of way they want to live because they don't want to be a works-based religion trying to earn their way into heaven, because that nullifies their grace.
Wow.
So now it's like, okay, I got to stop trying to stop drinking. I just got to let it be. I know I already believe in Jesus, so just let it be, okay? And this attitude keeps you in this lukewarm stage, and then now you don't get raptured, and then you say, oh my God, what happened?
Right.
Okay, what happened? Why was I left? I believed in you, okay? Did I not feed the poor and cast out demons, and didn't we do many things in your name? And he'll say, away from me, I never knew you, okay? So I want you to understand that the gospel and Satan's strategy, you've got to fight word with word,
yeah.
Okay? Fight the word with the word. You don't have to do anything other than believe in Jesus Christ to be saved.
Right.
That's all you have to do.
That's right.
Okay? That's what they're going to tell you, okay? Now, someone say, well, did you repent when you believed? No. Well, then, first of all, Jesus said, if you're going to accept, the first thing you got to do is repent and believe the gospel, okay?
Yeah.
So that's something you have to do right there, okay? So you repent, you believe the gospel. Now you say, now that I believe the gospel, now you want to get into living for God, okay? Being in a true relationship with God. Jesus said this, I am presenting to you a new covenant in my blood. Okay? Covenant is the thing. Okay? Covenant means a agreement between you and me. Okay?
Yes.
And so you're in a covenant relationship and you need to act in accordance to the covenant.
Yes.
Okay? The covenant says, walk not after the flesh,
yes,
but after the spirit.
Yes.
Anyone who walks after the flesh will die. The word thanatos in the Greek, meaning a continual death in Hades, okay?
Yeah.
So we want to kill our flesh. We don't want to just say, let it flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not working your way into heaven by being obedient to God. You understand?
Yeah.
You're walking out your salvation. It's like telling your wife, you know what? I'm just going to continue dating other women, drinking and staying out as long as I want because I don't want to try to work my way into your love. I want you to just accept me by grace, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, then you'll be bags packed, knocking at my door, okay, trying to sleep in the basement or whatever, right?
Pastor, I have a question for you. Pastor Ben, this is for my favorite DM. Pastor Ben, what is the title of the book Pastor Sandy had last night about the Hebrew alphabet?
Now, let me explain something to you before I show you this, okay? This is called The Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet. It is by Rabbi Monk. I think it's Michael Monk. Now, I have to tell you this. He is an Orthodox Jew. He is not explaining salvation in Jesus Christ. The only thing he's explaining in this book is the concept of the letter structures in Hebrew, okay? So you understand the letter structure in Hebrew. He quotes from the Talmud. He quotes from the Torah. But only thing you need to be concerned is, what is the letter and what does the letter mean?
Yes.
Because the letter is the concept of the book.
Yes.
Genesis is an Aleph book, okay? Exodus is a Bet book,
yes.
Okay? So this is how the scriptures are working. So that's it. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay.
I have one more question for you.
Yes.
Pastor Sandy, does judgment fall upon a leader who knows the rapture is coming, but he doesn't prepare his flock?
I am very thankful that you asked that question. And this is what I want to tell you. If I know the rapture is coming, okay, and I'm a pastor. But as a pastor, I'm not called to preach the rapture. I'm called to teach people to live right for him, okay? To teach people how to build stronger families, okay? Because we're not all the same restaurant,
right,
okay? I don't preach the rapture to people who are Christians, who are living for God and love Jesus. Even if they don't understand the rapture, okay, I'll explain it to them, but I'm not going to argue with that person who loves Jesus and on fire for Jesus, trying to make them understand the rapture, because the rapture is not their salvation. Their salvation is their walk with Christ,
yeah.
Okay? And so if they're in a strong relationship with Christ and they're on fire for Christ, that's my first concern. I can tell them about the rapture, but my thing is I don't want to get into a conflict with them over the rapture. And if there's a pastor somewhere, it's like, you know, I just don't understand the book of Revelation, but God wanted me to make sure that I teach all these families that have accepted Christ how to be better husbands and how to be better Christians and to get them on fire for the gospel, okay? Now, I'm not judged, so I don't know what God called that pastor to do. So I can't go and say, this church is going to hell because you guys aren't getting people ready for the rapture. If I'm teaching you to live for Christ, I'm getting you ready for the rapture.
Yes.
Okay? If I'm teaching you that you can live any kind of way you want because you were already saved and you're once saved and you're always saved, then I'm preparing you to die.
Yes.
You understand? Because therefore, I'm not trying to get you into a relationship with God. I'm trying to get you to make God accept who you are.
Yes.
You understand? And God doesn't come down to our level. The Holy Spirit is given to us to bring us up to his level.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So please don't go into church and say, this church doesn't preach the rapture. You're all in sin. No, they're not. If they're preaching Jesus Christ and they're preaching righteousness and they're preaching living for God, they're ready for the rapture. That's a church you can walk by and say, keep up the good job. I'm going to talk to this other church down here who's everybody's still fornicating. And the pastor's telling them that don't worry about it. Once they're saved, they're always saved. That's the church I'm going to tell them the rapture is coming, because they're not ready.
Amen.
They think they're ready. They're lukewarm, but they're not ready. They're saying, we're rich. We have all the things that we need in life. We don't need anything. And God says, you're poor, blind, pitiful, and naked.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so those are the people that I want to talk to. If I have a friend that's living in sin, I want to tell him, hey, man, you need to really turn your life and give your life to Christ. And he says, well, why? You know, you say, well, look, the rapture is coming. And when Christ comes, you don't want to be left behind. So, but you're going to have to make sure that you're not lukewarm, or that you don't have your garments, or do you have, or you don't have any oil in your lamp when he comes. So you want to tell him that so that he'll understand you need to have some fear.
Yes.
Stop saying that fear is not of God, okay?
Amen.
Fear is the beginning of knowledge. Yes. Fear is the beginning of understanding God, okay? Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Fear saved me a lot of butt whoopings growing up. Fear can be good, okay? You should fear God. He has the keys to hell. You should fear him, okay?
Amen.
Fear is a good concept. Once we become Christians, we don't want to fear the demonic world because we know Christ has overcome. We don't want to fear poverty. We don't want to fear sickness because we know those things Christ has overcome. But to fear God is wisdom. Okay?
Amen. Pastor Sandy,
yes.
Welcome Natasha P. from Calgary, Alberta. She joined the church.
Natasha, you in Calgary, Alberta? You know, look me up. I play for Calgary Stampeders. Pastor Sandy, I love Calgary. For the 1 year I was there, I love Calgary. Calgary is a beautiful place. They have this time of the year, Pastor Ben, where it stays daytime all day and all night.
What?
It's weird. Like, you go out at 1 a.m. and it's still daytime, right?
Dude.
So it's a Calgary's beautiful city, though. I loved it. Okay. So, with the 5 minutes, I'm going to try to explain to you Samech, okay? Now, Samech, as I read it in the scriptures last night, in this book, it said that Samech is the letter that God uses in creation of the bride, which is Eve, right?
Yeah.
So when he creates Eve, God says, now I'm going to incorporate this letter, Samech. The numerical value of Samech is 120, okay?
Yes.
Now, it is the 15th letter of the Bible, which is 15 is the word Yah, which is God, okay? Times 8 is also 120. So this 120, which God says to Noah, you have 120 years, then I'm taking my spirit out.
Yeah.
When he says Moses lived for 120 years, then Yahshua took over.
Yeah.
So all of these 120s are telling you something concerning judgment and the church,
yeah.
Okay? Because that's what's happened. So by teaching you Samech last night, I was trying to show you that the concept of the rapture is in the creation of Eve. And the concept of 120 doesn't start at Noah. It starts on the first Samech when God creates Eve.
Yeah.
You understand? And this is why I was saying this is so important that we know that what's going to happen is going to happen.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how many strategies Satan has. One day the world is going to wake up, and they're going to wake up to a world with no Holy Spirit living in it, and new people living on the planet called inhabitants that are now Nephilim and other spirits, and the people of the world will see evil like they've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm trying to save people from. This is why I wish a billion people were listening to me, because I'm trying to save your life. I'm not trying to build a ministry. I'm not trying to make money. I'm not trying to get on TV. I'm trying to save your life by telling you,
yes,
your enemy is preparing for your demise.
Yes.
And the people who love you are trying to tell you, prepare yourself to leave. Get your bags packed. Get ready to go because Christ is coming. Yes. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
We're
gonna pray out.
Yeah, I'm gonna pray out right now. And look at that. We got people joining during the class. I love it. I love it. And let somebody hear this message, please. Send it to somebody. Because you're just trying to save them. Okay, you guys ready?
Yes.
Let's pray out. God said this. And if God said this is the way to do it, I'm going to do it the same way Moses did it.
Amen.
May God bless you and keep you. And God said, Pastor Sandy, you know you can't see without glasses. So put them on. Put thou glasses on, because thou art 58 soon. Yep. Thou art 58. Soon I will be 58. Okay. He said, tell them this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. Shalom, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. And we are just preparing and staying ready for the departure. And look, the 120th, we're on 119th of 120. We should be dancing. Amen. Praise God.
Somebody said you look 37, Pastor Sam.
Yeah, I like that person.